ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on WBC-TV. Often imitated, but never duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. And when I say modest, think cap. Straight up, I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I've won some awards for my boxing. So supposedly, allegedly, I know a little bit about the game. But guess what? I found the average fight fan knows a little bit more, has a different perspective. So straight up, I open the toll-free phone line, open up at the top of each hour, just for you people, straight up, one time, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. That's the listener line. You can always also text us here in the studio, the text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. If you're listening to the show live, it's Merry Christmas 2021, 12/25/21. If you listen to this delayed on iHeartRadio or SiriusXM Satellite Radio, or there's like a thousand different platforms, but straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Very happy holidays to you. Of course, my name is Pedro Fernandez. We'll bring in boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, talk about the year in boxing. And then at 40 minutes past the hour, we're going to go into a deep dive and a mystery. The mystery death of an ex-boxer. The guy was a bit of a playboy, an actor, all kinds of good stuff. And of course, talk about the passing. I didn't know the guy passed away. One of my boxing buddies, Jerry Maxwell. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV.
One can have a dream, babe.
Two can make a dream so real.
One can talk about being in love.
Two can say how it feels.
Well, one can wish upon a star.
Two can make a wish come true, yeah.
One can say.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Boxing today. Fox Sports 1. I think it's sort of cool when they have boxing on Christmas Day, Thanksgiving, things like that. They used to do it with professional wrestling back in the 80s and the 90s. They made a lot of bucks on it. I mean, people were at home, they got around the TV, and they watched either boxing or wrestling, and usually wrestling back in the day. But now they're trying to put boxing. Of course, boxing is it's got so many different platforms. Fox Sports 1 is going to go with this one today with a once-beaten kid from Pennsylvania. Vito Milanaki taking on Nicolas de la Bomba. Bottom line is, looks like a couple of local guys going at it at welterweight. That's going to be Christmas Day. This on Fox Sports 1. Of course, that's going to come to you at 3 p.m. in the East. Take it back. 3 p.m. in the West, 6 o'clock in the East. And I want to mention Gennady Golovkin, of course, the former world middleweight title holder. I don't know. Is Charlo the guy at 160 or what? You know, these guys got to settle the score. It's too much confusion. When I'm confused as to who's the king in the weight division, you got some problems because boxing is my business, okay? So what I'm trying to tell you is that Golovkin's made a lot of noise about being the best at 160 for the past couple of years. So, of course, after the Canelo fights, of course, the one fight with Canelo ended in a draw. The second fight ended in a loss. Of course, that's the only two marks on Gennady Golovkin's career. And, of course, he was the 29th scheduled to fight on DAZN over in Japan, Tokyo, Japan, against Ryota Murata, of course, a Japanese mark. And the only thing Murata's got is he's connected and he's big. Outside of that, Murata couldn't lick a stamp if he wet his tongue. He really couldn't. Anyway, bottom line is Golovkin's not going over there. The fight's been postponed. I think it had a lot to do with COVID. Of course, the Luis Ortiz is going to go on the first. Now, why do they have Luis Ortiz? Do you know who Luis Ortiz is? Not too many fight fans do. I mean, maybe it's a vague name. Bottom line is he was a Cuban national, of course, a Cuban exile that came over here and immigrated to the United States, of course, swam across here in a boat. But the bottom line is he got here, and he was a good heavyweight. I mean, not a great heavyweight, but a good heavyweight. Had some decent fights, but he's long in the tooth. And to put him in a pay-per-view main event against Charles Martin on January 1st, I mean, now you are pimping off the boxing fan. In other words, the poor boxing fan that's sitting home on New Year's Eve or New Year's not having a whole lot to do, saying, you know what, maybe I'll watch the fights. Well, not this crap on pay-per-view. Frank Sanchez and Carlos Negron, Johnny Rice and Michael Coffey, that's a rematch, and Gerald Washington and Ali Demerzian. Gerald Washington is older than George Washington. Remember him? He was the first president of the United States. That's how old Gerald Washington. So if you want to watch this card on pay-per-view, don't pay for it. Now, we take it to the Bronx and bring in the Bronx Bomber himself, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And, sir, how are you today? Imagine that on pay-per-view.
I really would like to see who is going to buy that fight.
Well,
like, you're related to one of the fighters, I mean, that's insane, but...
Sock, there's these fight cards that are there are fight cards where the numbers of the people stealing the fight card, watching it stolen, totally morph the people watching it legally.
I'm pretty sure they do. You know, I mean, it's a it's an international thing. You know, the internet has definitely hit the pockets of the pay-per-view market.
And you know what's funny is that people say, remember when boxing first broke out on the internet. They had like Kid Antifashi and I can't think of the other kid was fighting on a Cedric Kushner card. It was like $15 and things like that. You know, I mean, that's when pay-per-view first started, and they tried to give you four or five fights and this, and then TV KO came along. And now it's been sort of replaced for the most part by the apps. Looks like the Zone's going to try to make some more moves and sign some more people. Is Barry Hearn good for boxing or not? And take that from a perspective of a businessman and a boxing fan.
Eddie Hearn, I think Eddie Hearn.
Eddie Hearn, excuse me.
I think Eddie Hearn has been good for boxing. I think he's just like any promoter. He is fortunate that in the past year he's been able to have opponents lined up for Canelo. He packs the house with his fights in England. I mean, I think he's been great for boxing, but he's just like any other promoter. You know, he's looking to make money.
Not like any other promoter. There was Frank Warren,
Hello?
Of course. Like Frank Warren, one of the premier promoters in
Hello?
The UK. Frank Warren got shot, and then he got shot by Terry Marsh, allegedly by Terry Marsh, and then he got beat up by Mike Tyson. So Frank
Hello?
Warren's been through some hell. Bottom line is we're going to try to hook things up with Socrates Palmer once again, of course. Having issues. It's Christmas Day. Does that mean it's raining? It's raining like hell here. There's rain all over the place, and yes, we do have a couple leaks in the studio. I kid you not. There's actually water in the other studio. It's a little bucket containing water. Anyway, it's been raining cats and dogs here in the city by the bay for about 3 or 4 days now, and it's supposed to continue, but the bottom line is we can deal with it. Back to the sport of boxing. Where was I? Of course, we'll get Socrates Palmer back in a minute. Golovkin and Ryota has been canceled. Showtime's going to have three fights with all unbeaten fighters, six unbeaten fighters on January the 7th. The 15th, we get the return of Joe Smith, the WBO light heavyweight title holder, taking on Callum Johnson. These guys, Callums, a lot of Callums in boxing right now. And the man that's been on more milk cartons as a boxer than any man in history of boxing, I'm talking about Gary Russell. Gary Russell Jr. is going to defend the WBC featherweight title. Hasn't fought in a year. Going to take on Double M Mark Magaiso. That's going to go down January 22nd on Showtime. The 29th, he's got a WBC cruiserweight title on the line. And we'll see what happens with that. I'll talk about that a little bit later. Of course, Canelo Alvarez in line for a WBC cruiserweight title fight. And February 5th, the return of Keith Thurman. This guy smokes more weed than me and Cuddy put together, and maybe two or three other people. I'm telling you, this guy smokes a lot of weed. And there's listen, I'm not knocking smoking weed, obviously, but you got to look at it from this perspective. He goes off into the bushes, into the woods, and smokes weed and blows a flute and this kind of stuff. I guess he's waiting for a snake to rise or something like that. But the bottom line is, I think that's a little weird. I think going off into the woods and smoking weed and blowing a flute and that kind of stuff, I think that's just a little bit weird. Anyway, Keith Thurman, once beaten Keith Thurman, take on Mario Barrios. Of course, Barrios losing that one fight to, I believe, Tank and the 140-pound crown of the WBA. Of course, that was a few months back. And he is trained by the Virgil Hunter out of Hayward, California. Now, back to the phone lines or the Skype line. I bring in Socrates Palmer. Now, where was I when I was so rudely interrupted by technology?
A little flash knocked on there, but we're good.
Okay. straight up, though, right now, I mean, I was just talking about Keith Thurman coming back. And what makes Keith Thurman a pay-per-view a commodity?
That's something you're going to have to ask Al Haymon and the people that run PBC. You know, he's fighting against Berrios, who gave a gallant effort against Tank Davis a while back. Keith Thurman, at one point, you thought that had the potential to be a pay-per-view star, but, you know, it didn't seem that boxing was his priority.
He smokes too much weed.
Yeah, I think weed, and he fell in love. He's married, and, you know, he's made some money, and I just don't think boxing is priority for him.
You know, people don't realize how hard it is to stay hungry in the sport of boxing as far as, like, you, whether you're an amateur. When I say hungry, you're hungry a lot. But what I'm trying to say is hungry as far as wanting to sacrifice yourself and do things like that. Once you've got a couple of bucks, because I've seen it, I don't want to mention the name, but one guy in particular who had a couple of fights with Sugar Ray Leonard, his whole world changed after that first Leonard fight when he made $1.5 million, having made $100,000, the most for like 20 fights in a row, 100 grand. And all of a sudden he makes $1.5 million, and his next fight he makes $8 million. But Roberto Duran's attitude definitely changed after that that first $1 million payday.
Yeah, I mean, what's Bob Arum is famous for saying, the best is to keep a fighter broke or problems with taxes. You know, the hunger, you know, and especially these guys who've had a long amateur career. I mean, they've been fighting for a long time, you know, and it's only, I guess, natural. You know, you lose that hunger, you lose that motivation. But Keith Thurman will probably look back and of what could have been. You know, the fight with him and Errol Spence was never made. When it was hot, he's also had some injuries. But Keith Thurman, to me, is definitely on the back end of his career.
Somebody shot me a quick text here. What do I talk about? Terry Marsh shooting Frank Warren. I didn't say he shot Frank Warren. I said he allegedly shot Frank Warren. Terry Marsh was a former IBF junior welterweight champion who was retired by injuries. I think he was either undefeated or he lost one fight, coming from the UK. And a guy that looked a lot like him shot Frank Warren with a gun one day in the street. And when I asked Terry Marsh, did you shoot Frank Warren, because the guy looked a whole lot like you, he said, no, why would you say that? And then he winked his eye at me about 15 times. So I think Terry Marsh shot Frank Warren. And, of course, but Mr. Hearn, Eddie Hearn is not getting beat up by Mike Tyson either. You know what I mean? So Eddie Hearn sort of like been able to stay big but not get slapped around. Even Mike Tyson Mike Tyson slapped Don King around.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, I've seen in person Joe DiGuardia throw hands with Lou Del Val, you know, at a club fight. I mean, sometimes promoters have to know how to defend themselves.
Joe could fight, though. Joe was a Golden Glover,
wasn't
he?
Joe was a fighter. That's right. Joe could fight.
Yeah, Joe could fight.
I believe he beat Larry Barnes in the Golden Gloves.
Larry Barnes?
Larry Barnes, yes. Who later he went on to promote. So look at that.
All right. Anyway, speaking of boxing right now, of course, the lightweight division is really where everybody's attention is at. I mean, the heavyweights are sort of like, you know, you've got the man being Tyson Fury, and we don't know what he's going to do as far as his next opponent is concerned. The WBC says one thing, he's maybe saying another. I think he's negotiating maybe for more money, because there's no reason he would want to run from Dillian White, huh?
You know, I mean, it's one of those maybe high-risk, low-reward. I mean, Dillian White deserves his shot. He's been the number one contender for about a calendar year. He deserves his crack at Tyson Fury. Apparently, it may go to purse bid. And there is some controversy that if Tyson Fury is even allowed to fight in England, you know, about a license suspension or something like that. So if the fight happens, where does it happen? You know, that's another thing. So, but, I mean, do I think Dillian White's a threat to beat Tyson Fury? Absolutely not. I think Tyson Fury probably stops him midway. But Dillian White deserves his title shot. He's earned it, and he's in the one contender. And the WBC should mandate that he defends the title.
Socrates Palmer, go off and enjoy the rest of your Christmas day, my brother. We'll talk real soon. We'll talk next week. Kiss the kids. Kiss the wife. I thank you so much each and every week for your time.
Thank you, my brother. Merry Christmas to all the listeners. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you on WBC TV, which is carried by Veeb TV. Straight up, there's only one Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez.
Jake Paul starts Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley, of course, the former UFC champion at 175 pounds. Of course, the light heavyweight is Jake Paul. Jake Paul, our cruiserweight, Jake Paul's a, how can I put this, an internet sensation, a YouTube freak, call him what you want. But the bottom line is, he's in damn good shape. He knows boxing's fundamentals, the ones, the twos, the threes, the ABCs, that kind of good stuff. And he knows how to hold, which is important. If he ever gets hurt, he knows how to hold. So what I'm trying to tell you is, he probably won't be the cruiserweight champion of the world. Probably not, okay? But I think he'd be a good attraction for boxing. And the fact that he's willing to, I mean, he spreads the wealth. Last week, Amanda Serrano fought on his undercard. Amanda Serrano, of course, considered one of the best fighters in the world as far as females are concerned. She's like 42-1, something like that. Anyway, a multi-division champion. She made $275,000 fighting under Jake Paul's card. I mean, she couldn't have made it. Probably the most in her life, she's made like 25 grand, maybe 50 somewhere if she got on a TV show and she was the main event. But I don't think so. So $275,000 for fighting underneath Jake Paul. Of course, Jake Paul knocks out Tyron Woodley. And some of the boxing people, as evil as they are, as jealous as they are like the worst people in the world as far as insecurity is concerned. They see this guy coming in and snatching away some of the crumbs, you know, talking about the pay-per-view crumbs, things like that, because he's doing this thing either on Showtime pay-per-view or some other form of pay-per-view. And, of course, eventually he's going to get into some type of a mega fight. Well, the mega fight looks like it might happen next. And when I say mega fight, because it involves a Mexican of great national prominence. We're talking about Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Of course, Chavez Jr., famous for me for having sex in the shower before having a fight at the L.A. Forum. How do I know that? The referee told me, Hector. Not anybody else, but the referee told me. The referee went in to give him final instructions, because they don't give the final instructions in the center of the ring anymore. They give it, in the dressing room. So this referee, who I won't name because he, take that back, I'm not going to name him, but he goes into the dressing room for Julio Cesar Chavez at the L.A. Forum, the Inglewood Forum, the Great Western Forum, call it what you want. And the roof trainer says, well, he's not available right now. What do you mean he's not available right now? He was in the shower banging some girl. Bottom line is having sex in the shower, of course. This is before a fight, a 10-round fight at the L.A. Forum, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. So Chavez Jr., at one point in time, ascended to the WBC middleweight crown. Looked like he was a dedicated guy for a while there. His father had him under control. And when I say under control, I know this sort of sounds a little diabolic or a little over the top, but you heard Socrates Palmer say, you know, sometimes the best fighters are either in trouble with the law or they got tax problems or something like that. In other words, in order to keep them focused, I mean, you have to keep fighters focused. This is not an easy thing to do. It's just not. I mean, getting up in the morning, running 5, 6, 7 miles sometimes, and then having to do other types of workouts during the days on your off days, okay, this is not an easy game. It's just not. And the bruises that you take, people don't realize along the way, you know, you take beatings, whether you're good or not. You're going to take a few lickings here in the gym and you get caught with a shot here and there. Not beatings per se, but a good shot here and there. It sort of wakes you up as to how violent this game really is. But now back to Jake Paul. Him and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., be a mega, mega fight on pay-per-view. The Mexicans will get involved. Yeah, the curiosity will be there, because I think for this fight, Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. will probably get involved with Junior's preparation. Of course, Junior weighed 175 pounds for this last fight. He's probably like I remember when he turned pro, he was like a junior middleweight, like a big welterweight, like 150 pounds, and now he's fighting at 175, held the title at 160. But him and Jake Paul, I think it's going to be a mega event. In fact, there's been an offer out there. Evidently, he was offered $3 million to fight Jake Paul. How can you turn down $3 million to fight a guy with four fights? Good Lord, man. $3 million and plus, $3 million guaranteed plus a cut of the pay-per-view for Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., who was a winner last week, a 10-round decision winner down there in Mexico. So evidently he's on a bit of a roll. Looks like he's trying to discipline himself. But the mega event of 2022 is probably going to be involved Jake Paul. Everybody's saying to me, how can you say that? It's just, you know, I mean, I don't think that Canelo filing the Okubu, the WBC Cruiserweight champion, if he's successful, I think in January, has a fight in January. But if they were to fight in May, and when Canelo has this guy come down to 190 pounds, a 200-pound champion, I don't think that's going to do better numbers than Jake Paul and Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. I just don't think it will. I think it'll be the mega event of the year. Everybody laughing at me right now. You're laughing at me. Listen, the guy sells tickets. I couldn't sell, like, I couldn't sell 15 or 20 tickets in my time, maybe 20 tickets. I mean, I look out there in the crowd, to be like, you know, a couple thousand people in the crowd, maybe 8 people I know. It's just the way it is, okay? It's just the way it is. This guy sold 15,000 tickets twice. Once, I think, in Atlanta, and last week, I think, in Florida. So he sold out arenas. How many guys can sell out arenas? Not too many guys. So give him his credit. Give him credit where it's due. And as I said, he's spreading the wealth, paying the people on the undercard. Fighters can't wait to get on his undercards. I mean, if you were a free agent right now, you'd be vying to get on Jake Paul's undercard because he pays you, no doubt about that. So Jake Paul, a boxing sensation? No. Internet sensation? Yes. Will he become world champion? Probably not. But he'll be exciting along the way. And guess what? He's bringing a different group of boxing fans. I mean, these people aren't boxing fans. They're like Jake Paul fans. So they're like, hey, let's watch some boxing. So anyway, they got into boxing. If you're bringing more eyes on the sport, you're doing a good thing. And Jake Paul's doing it in a big way. Now, the WBC heavyweight title, of course, is supposed to go down with Dillian White being mandated as the number one contender for the WBC heavyweight title order and the linear champion, Tyson Fury. Fury's got a bit of a problem with that. Fury doesn't want to fight in England. Fury's, as Socrates Palmer alluded to. Listen, the reason why guys want to get out of England and almost leave England is the taxes. I mean, I knew a guy that lived on a boat, so he didn't have to pay taxes. The taxes are like 50 or 60 or 70%. If you make like $1 million, you got to pay like $600,000 in taxes. I mean, it's astronomical. It's astronomical. I kid you not. So people want to get away from the English tax system. And, I mean, Mickey Duff, that's not his real name, but that was his boxing name. He was a manager, probably the smartest boxing man I've ever met in my life, pound for pound, International Boxing Hall of Fame. I go on and on, but what a great manager and what a great mind he was. But he didn't want to pay the British taxes, so he lived in a boat. The boat was like 10 miles, about this big old boat, and he lived like 10 miles off the coast, and that was cool until a big storm came and rocked his boat around. He almost died, this and that, so Mickey said, screw the taxes, I'll pay him, I'm going back to the UK. So evidently money, at the end of the day, wasn't the root of all evil when it came to Mickey Duff. May he rest in peace. Straight up, somebody asked me the other day, why don't you have substitutes on your show? Why do I need subs? I mean, we don't do the sub thing. I mean, I did the sub thing back in 93 when I went and did the Brawl at the Wall. Of course, that was the first broadcast from the People's Republic of China. Leonza Barber defended the WBO light heavyweight title, I think, against, I can't remember who it was. Anyway, the bottom line was, we went over there and I said to Steve Vender, who was a local private investigator, wasn't at the time. At the time, he was a local boxing writer, but he became a local private investigator, as did I. And I said, well, why don't you do the show for me? And he said, yeah, I'll do the show for you. So it was down at the KEST studios, and that was down on the waterfront now, and now it's like Mission Bay. It's like, wow, can I say that place used to be the ghetto, and now it ain't the ghetto no more. But the bottom line was I let Steve Vender do the show, and Steve Vender went out. It was a half-hour show, no commercial break, one commercial break. And because I said, you know, can you do this? He said, yeah. So he and his buddy went down there, and they got drunk as a skunk. And they were calling Don King the N-word, all kinds of crazy stuff, okay? So when I get back, I'm in L.A., so I call my answering machine, and there's like 95 beeps on my answering machine, like 95 beeps. And like every 10 beeps is a call. And, man, who was it? It was the station manager. He kept calling, you no good SOB. I can't believe you let that go out on my air, blah, 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 blah. That's why I don't do substitutes on this show. I'll do a recording once in a while, maybe a pre-tape or something like that. But either that or a live show, that's the way I do it. Straight up, I don't let anybody do my thing. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside. Look into the world of boxing and MMA. This is the Saturday edition coming to you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. I keep going and going and going. Cable radio. Bottom line is, this is Ring Talk, and it is worldwide. Nobody can get. Some Tower of Power circa 2007. They did a cover album, Great American Soul Book. Check it out. I think it's a Marvin Gaye tune. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking through the world of boxing and MMA. We take it back in time, folks, talking about one of boxing's, how can I put this, characters. Boxing, of course, boxing, the boxing world is full of characters. One time, at one point in time, there was a guy named Bobby Diamond. I remember this name. It used to be in Jack Fisk's column once in a while. Jack Fisk was the preeminent boxing writer here in San Francisco for like 35 or 40 years. But the bottom line is, I read about this guy by Bobby Diamond. Never saw him fight or anything like that. And then he died mysteriously. And, of course, his mysterious death has never been solved or anything like that. So for that, I bring in somebody that knew Mr. Bobby Diamond, Cindy Molina. Cindy, how are you today?
It's Mary Molina. Merry Christmas.
Mary Molina. I blew that again. Why, Cuddy, why did I write down Cindy? Anyway, so tell me about Bobby Diamond. He wasn't the most accomplished professional fighter in the world, but he was a movie actor. He did his thing. What was he about?
Well, he was different, and because of that, he fit into San Francisco perfectly. You know, he was the kind of guy where you swallow your blood and you keep on punching. That's an old boxing term. It's been around forever. Probably goes back to way, way beyond maybe Jack Dempsey. And he had a swagger.
Mm-hmm.
He was a badass. But he was also a very deep thinker. I think that there was a kindness about him, if you will. I believe his mom's name was Mary, the same as mine.
Okay.
And I think he held her in a great deal of respect.
Okay, let's talk about how did he die?
Well, this is a speculative, of course. The word on the street was he was murdered. But, of course, I can't prove that. And I don't want to say that, and I don't want to start a ruckus. But that was just a smack that was talked on the street. I do know that he was a guy who you knew exactly what he was thinking. He could be verbally abusive. If he didn't like you, he was horribly verbally abusive.
So was he a drunk?
Was he a drunk?
You didn't have to delay to answer that. Was he a drunk, yes or no?
Well, what are you talking about? Like stumble down drunk, like jerk drunk?
No, was he a functioning alcoholic?
He was a drinker.
He was a drunk.
Well, okay. That's your...
Well, I know I've got alcoholics in the family. I tell it like it is, you know, and being a former policeman, I think I know a little bit about alcohol. But his real name was Robert Hulak. And we're correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. He was only 44 years old. But here's why I found the intrigue when I was reading a little bit. He was waiting on some type of pretrial motion with the federal government. Why would he have contact with the federal government? And was he under federal charges at the time? Do you know?
There was a lot of speculation about that. And you know who knew more about it, who was probably closer to him than anyone aside from his mom, was my dearest friend in the world who's gone now, Jerry Maxwell.
Jerry Maxwell was one of the was an integral part of the Northern California Retired Boxers Association, has been for a long time, and I didn't know he passed until last week, so may he rest in peace. But Jerry was a solid dude. But back to this guy. He wasn't all that good of a fighter. I was looking at his record. He was 4-12. That doesn't equate to being a good fighter. You feel me?
Well, would you call him a contender?
No, I wouldn't even call him that. I'd call him like maybe a journeyman.
Well, you know, you're being hard on the
No. You can't lose. You can't have a record of 4-12 and be considered a good fighter. I mean, it's just the way it was.
Come on.
But listen. Anyway.
He was a published writer.
Oh no, I was going to ask you to get into that. He did other things besides boxing. Go on.
I'm trying to make a Christmas blessing here. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that he was a man that impressed me in my life. I'm 74 now, and there's people that are very impressive in life. Mm-hmm. Many of them. But few sometimes make a difference either way. I think Bobby D was a guy that I'll always remember. He had something about him. He had a swagger. He was extremely interesting. He was you know, who's that great? Oh, Pete Hamill wrote a great book called The Drinking Life.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby D could fit into that book because he would have been part of the fabric of people around at that particular time, that genre of people.
Okay. I got a
And he was a professional boxer. And I do think you're being fair, you know, obviously. But he also was noteworthy, if you get what I'm trying to
no,
say.
No, I get you. But what I'm trying to say is that officially, according to the records, his record was. Anyway, switch gears on that one. Tell me about Jerry Maxwell. Jerry Maxwell died 6 months ago, you told me?
Yes, he died in July, and I was not informed, and I was very insulted about it. Jerry and I go back. We knew the same people. Okay. We shared the same bookies.
How old was he?
He was younger than me. He was 71, I believe.
Okay, is there any indication as to why he checked out?
No, I don't believe that his wife is on good terms with me. And at one time we were. And I'm not able to reach her, nor do I particularly want to. I had not seen Jerry for a number of years. And the last time I saw him, it seemed that he was being indoctrinated into this religious zealotry that goes to his wife. And by no means do I want any of your fans to say that I'm against religion. I'm not. I'm just against fanatical religion. And Jerry was a good man, and he was a decent man. And, you know, there's an old saying, do as to others as you would do unto you. He practiced that.
He did, without a doubt. Mary, I want to thank you so much for your little insight on Mr. Diamond and Mr. Maxwell. Mr. Maxwell was very special to me. You have a great day. Merry Christmas 2021, and all the best to you in your future.
And you too, my friend.
Thank
Goodbye.
You so much. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Bobby Diamond, the professional fighter we were talking about, was 4-12. He had 2 KOs and had been stopped 4 times, according to BoxRec.com. Of course, his real name was Robert Hulak. He was an actor of sorts, he was a published author, so I got to give him some props. He did things that I haven't done. Now, Canelo Alvarez, pound for pound, the king of boxing, no doubt about that. Does he really want to fight at cruiserweight? I don't know. I think Artur Bitabev, of course, who won last week. I mean, Artur Bitabev, I think he took apart Marcus Brown. Was it Marcus Brown? Anyway, it was like, you know, he's a brute. I mean, you can hit him with a baseball bat. When fights take place on TV, I started a fight off was, how can I beat this guy? This is the way I look at things. How can I beat this guy, especially the favorite guy? How can I beat the favorite guy? And if I can't beat him, how can my guy beat him? In other words, I'm trying to think, how can he be beaten, okay? And when I look at Bitabev, I just don't know how he could be beaten. I don't know if you beat him, if you hit him hard enough with a baseball bat, maybe you knock him down or knock him out. But unless you really, really hurt him and staggered him and put him, set him back a couple steps, I don't think there's any stopping him. Not at 175 pounds, I don't. So I think that Canelo Alvarez is smart moving to 190 pounds or fighting the cruiserweight champion, Okubu, at 190 pounds instead of fighting him at 200 and instead of fighting Artur Bitabev at 175 pounds. Now, Hector rags that Canelo will fight Bitabev when Bitabev gets old. Well, he's 37 now, so give him another 2 years now. Is that what you're trying to say? But the bottom line is Canelo is the king of boxing, no doubt about that. But he's calling the shots. As far as 2022 is concerned, he wants to fight this cruiserweight champion. He wants to fight him in Mexico City, and they want to make it a big deal. I mean, more power to him. He's supposed to get, when you're the king, you can call your shots. And yes, he is a king, and he's beating everybody in his place, except for Floyd Mayweather. People keep wanting to bring that up. Floyd Mayweather beat him back in the day when he was very, very green. Had 2 left feet, and Floyd knew right then and there, I'm going to take on the number one pay-per-view star in Mexico, make a whole lot of money, and get him when he's green. And you don't want to fight him now, not when he's mature. No way about that. No doubt about that. Speaking of Floyd, why can't he just shut the duck up? You know what I'm saying? Why can't he just go away? I mean, even if he wants to promote to an extent, why does he have to be an integral part of everything? I mean, Floyd, the act was old. When you were a fighter, the act got old. It just did. I mean, you were an accomplished athlete. You went undefeated. You were very choosy in the guys you fought, as are most great champions. Maybe that line doesn't deserve to be out there, as do some of today's champions. But you are very selective in the guys you fought, and I think that for the most part, you were untouchable. I mean, there's, you know, from 130 to 140 pounds, you were untouchable. 147, maybe not so much. As far as pound for pound great fighters are concerned, I just wouldn't put you in the same category as I would the Fab Four. I'm talking about Leonard, Duran, Hearns, or Hagler. I just wouldn't put you there. I mean, I don't even know if you could beat Wilfred Benitez. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I don't know if you could beat Benitez. I really don't think so as far as size is concerned. You see, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. And this is combat sports. And Floyd was very smart in the guys he fought as he moved up in weight. Every time he moved up in weight, he would fight a guy that either had a disadvantage here or a disadvantage there, or he had an advantage. Floyd had all the cards in his hand. That's the way he always played it, okay? And the bottom line is I won't say I despise it the way he did things. I mean, because he did things very, very in a very successful manner. And, you know, he made a lot of money. And when you look at his uncle, Roger Mayweather, the fact that he's dead now because of boxing, you know, he was ended up like a vegetable. I'm trying to be careful here. He was basically a vegetable from the sport of boxing. His uncle, Roger Mayweather, of course, the WBC champion, I believe, at 130 pounds. He won the title at 140, skipped 135, I think. But Roger, of course, had those fights with Julio Cesar Chavez. Couldn't beat him, but he could beat just about everybody else. But Mayweather, at the end, Mayweather, Roger, meaning he was like, you know, he was in a hospital, couldn't feed himself, anything like that. The residual effects of professional boxing, they're very, very ugly. That's why I think fighters need to get paid up front and a lot of money. Of course, you know, you got guys now not making the money they want to make because of the fact there's not too many guys out there that are good promoters. I mean, PBC, Al Haymon, I don't know, he does his thing, but he only seems to be able to promote black fighters. And I don't get that because black fighters have never been, for the most part, the guys that sell a lot of tickets. Sorry, Al, but that's just the way it is. When I had promoted fights, I used to count the black people in my crowd. I mean, I'd have like 800-900 people there, or maybe 1,000 people at the Longshoremen's Hall down there in San Francisco, and I count the black people in the crowd. Usually, about 25 or 30. That's not a good number. That's not a good number. So they aren't part of the demographic when it comes to selling tickets. Why is that? I don't know. Maybe it's the economic perspective. I have no idea. But pound for pound, Canelo's king. He deserves to be there, no doubt about that. As far as 135 pounds is concerned, Ryan Garcia is making all kinds of noise. He wants to fight the pit bull. Didn't Pitbull Cruz just get beat by Davis a couple of weeks ago? He wants to fight a guy that just lost a fight. Ryan, show me some intestinal fortitude. Show me some stones. You show me very little at this point in time, except maybe you've had a few anxiety attacks. Listen, pal, we all have anxiety attacks. If that was all about canceling the world and canceling fights because of anxiety attacks, nobody would be boxing. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
When it's lights, camera, action, it's time to give the fans entertainment. The fans want to be entertained. I mean, when I'm home, I'm like anyone else. I'm just normal. Spend time with my children.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
It is Christmas Day, 2021. As I came to the Sports Byline Studios today, I was unfortunate enough to have to step over somebody coming in the door. I kid you not, there's a guy on the sidewalk. It's raining cats and dogs. They're probably one of the worst rainstorms we've ever had, maybe in the last 3 or 4 years. I kid you not. That's how bad it's been raining here, okay? There's a guy laying on the sidewalk out here with a little piece of paper over him. I kid you not, sleeping on the sidewalk. This is Christmas 2021 in San Francisco, California. I kid you not. Speaking of Christmas in Mexico, Canelo Alvarez, the aforementioned pound-for-pound king of force in boxing, was distributing toys in Monterrey, Mexico to children in need. More power to him on that one. And Devin Haney says, if Tank Davis says that I'm such an easy guy, why hasn't he fought me already? Why hasn't he fought me? Listen, these guys need to stop talking. It's like the professional talkers at 135 pounds. Boxing needs to get away from professional talkers. We're tired of it, man. These guys need to fight each other. Straight up, they do. 135 pounds, Tank Davis, of course. Is he the best at 135? He might be. He might be the best at 135. But I happen to go with the champion, the millennial champion, George Kambosos, of course, undefeated out of Australia. Licked Teofimo Lopez like a stamp and beat him up so bad he should have been arrested for domestic violence had they been gay. I kid you not. That's how bad the beating was. And Teofimo saying, my heart was bad. I had a brain issue. My lungs were bad. Some doctor came out and said, him fighting must have been like him fighting with a 300-pound weight on his chest. He was looking pretty good for 12 rounds for a guy with a 300-pound weight on his chest. The 300-pound weight in his face was that 300-pound gorilla that weighed 135 pounds in George Kambosos that was kicking his ass. That's all there is to it, okay? At the end of the day, Kambosos is the king at 135. I think Tank Davis is number two at 135. And guess who's number three at 135? Ryan Garcia. I got Ryan over. Hey, Ryan, anxiety attacks and all. I got him over Devin Haney. Reason why I got him over Devin Haney is that Devin Haney is like the email champion, the internet champion. I mean, he doesn't do anything. And when he goes out there and fights, he doesn't try to impress people at all. He starts to go out there, let me do what I can do to get by. That ain't enough, man. You got to go out there and excite people. Terrence Crawford, he's trying to excite people, knocking out Sean Porter, the retired Sean Porter. Is Terrence Crawford Fighter of the Year? Fight of the Year boils down to a few guys. We'll talk about it on the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live World. That's right. We come back Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. Live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Of course, delayed on Veev TV. Until next time, keep your hands up, keep your chin down. But most importantly on this Christmas day, keep your butt off the canvas of life. Much love and respect. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Until next time,